Trust me, dear friends, I wish he didn't say that. I've come to bring division. How is that good news? I had to say it, the gospel of the Lord, and thank God you replied. So, if Jesus hadn't said that, dear friends, he would have been doing us a huge disservice. If Jesus hadn't warned us about the reality of being his followers, he would have been doing us a huge, huge disservice. As the disciples found out immediately after his resurrection, when they came out to proclaim the good news, what happened? They started picking them off one after the other. Remember, they saw Jesus as a rabble rouser. He went to the temple. He cleansed the temple. Whipped them all out of the temple. All of his teachings appeared to be going against the grain of the current day Judaism at that time. Yet, nothing happened to them until he ascended into heaven. And history has it that it wasn't just the Romans who were picking up the disciples and killing them. Some family members handed over their family members to be killed because they thought they were ruining the religion of their fathers. Jesus was correct in what he was saying. And it holds true today, dear friends. If we want to be true followers of Jesus, we have to be ready for pushback. We have to be ready for opposition, as Paul tells us in the second reading. Because Jesus led by example, Paul is telling us that he had to struggle against the opposition to everything that he said. Love one another. Oh, what do you mean by love one another? What do you mean by doing this? Do not. What do you mean? Every which way, Jesus was opposed. Apart from his close circle of friends, there was no time that he was welcomed with open arms. Even the so-called innocent questions that were being posed to him were traps. Is it correct to pay tithe to Caesar? They wanted to get him to say something against Caesar. Should we do this? Should we do that? These were traps that were being set for Jesus. It holds true for us today, dear friends. And that is why he is warning us that the problem, the biggest problem we'll have, will be from within. The biggest problem we will have as his followers will be from our own families. Fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, cousins, extended family, uncles and aunts and name it. That will be our biggest opposition because that is where we get the greatest disappointment. But we are in search of peace. Nobody wants trouble around them. But what are we ready to give up for the sake of peace? In the first reading, the king, Zedekiah, that man was a good man. That man was a good man. Because if we read the previous chapter, chapter 37, it said that even though he wasn't listening to Jeremiah, he and his close ministers, still he asked Jeremiah, please pray for me. Please pray for me. Zedekiah was a good man. But when his ministers came to him with trouble, that man, Jeremiah, yes, he's praying for you, but he is turning the people against us. We want to do away with him. For the sake of peace, two things Zedekiah did, as we see in the first reading. He lied. I have no power over you. Do with him whatever you will. He lied. And how do we know that he lied? Because when the Ethiopian, Ebed-Melech, went to him and said, this man is going to die in that cistern. All of a sudden, the one who said he had no power said, take three men, go there and bring Jeremiah out. Where did the power come from? He always had it. But he lied. And for the sake of peace, he gave up an innocent man. If Ebed-Melech had not gone to intercede on behalf of Jeremiah, Jeremiah would have died in that cistern. Are we prepared to give up the innocent for the sake of peace within our lives? Are we prepared to neglect those in need for the sake of peace? Are we prepared to watch our brothers and sisters head down towards destruction just so we do not come into conflict with them? Are we prepared to see families torn apart by what is going on, by what we have observed, by what God has inspired us to intercede for or to speak to them about? Oh, I don't want them to think I'm being self-righteous. I don't want them to think I'm being a hypocrite. I don't want them to think I'm judging them. And we watch them plunge headlong into destruction. What are we ready to give up for the sake of peace? We also see the example in Pilate. Was he a bad man? If you understand my trend of thought, I'm not talking about bad people. I'm talking about good people like you. Was Pilate a bad man? We probably would never know. But for the sake of peace, he washed his hands and gave up the innocent to be killed. But he had the power. But he simply did not want to exercise it to save this innocent man. He wanted to keep his seat of power. When the chief priests and the scribes were making all of the noises, remember, he, Pilate, was the one who had the soldiers. He, Pilate, was the one who had his hand on the trigger. They were simply making noise. He could have told the soldiers, two canisters of tear gas, and let them be gone. He did not. He gave up Jesus to be killed, just so he will have peace. And today, what do we remember Pilate for? Probably he did a lot in his time as the governor of Judea and Israel. But no, today we only remember him for giving up the righteous, the innocent. What are we prepared to give up, dear friends, for the sake of peace? We have to be careful, because we will get the opposition when we want to exercise the gift of prophecy that God has given us. And when I say prophecy, I don't mean seeing visions. I mean simply coming to me and saying, Father, this, I think you are tearing this parish apart. Maybe we can go this other direction so that we'll all come together. I mean going to our brothers and sisters, our fathers and mothers, and telling them, those phone calls that you make talking about people in the family, we need to tone it down. It is not bringing us together. It is tearing the family apart. We need to go to our brothers and sisters and tell them that our parents that you are ignoring, remember that they took care of us when we were vulnerable. Why don't you go see them? Oh yes, we can talk about all of the things they did not do right. But remember, they are human, prone to weakness. They may have made mistakes, but we need to take care of them in their old age. I'm just giving random examples, but that is how God continues to inspire us. Even colleagues in the office, strangers that we meet, God will inspire us to use our Christian reasoning in order to bring them back to where they should be. And God also inspires us to say no when people want to lead us into things that are totally contrary to our Christian teaching. We have to stand firm and say, thus far and no more. I am not going there with you, because I am a Christian. We should be proud to always say, I will not do this because I am a Christian. I will not do this because in my religion it is considered immoral. I will not do this because in everything that I've been taught by our Lord Jesus Christ, this is wrong. We should be firm to say that, dear friends. Again, I ask, what are we ready to give up for the sake of peace? The apostles, when they were flogged, when they were told to shut up and speak no more about that name, Acts chapter 5, Peter and the rest said, we shall obey God rather than human beings. When Jesus was giving them chapter and verse what they were going to see, he said, even though you will suffer, but do not be afraid of those who can only kill the body, but do not have any power over the soul. Rather, be afraid and reverent of God, who can kill both body and soul. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Peace be with you.